listening to Dallas Theological Seminary's Chapel Podcast.
All right, you can be seated. Good to see all of you today. And I'm not having an introduction, and for the worldwide internet, I'm Chaplain Bill. And I've done a lot of things in my lifetime, some things that I'm proud of, some that I'm not so proud of. But it's good to be here today. And I would like to talk with you about a passage of Scripture that is so important to me in my life. But I want to start it this way. Once upon a time, there was a man who delighted in his job. And but the company that he was working for suffered some severe setbacks financially, and he was the first one to get cut out of his position. Then there was this lady that I knew who delighted in her good looks, but then gravity set in, and the aging process started, and she just flat out couldn't handle the transition, and her delight began to turn to dismay. And then there was this guy that got a new car. I mean, he was proud of that car. It was powerful, and he was coming down Central Expressway one day, and he delighted in that car. And he was in traffic and had an accident and destroyed that car, totaled it out. And the amount of the settlement that he got from the insurance company didn't even begin to touch the amount that he had paid for that car that he had so delighted in. There was a woman that loved her new home. She loved it and the appointments in that home and the furniture. But one day, a tornado blew across the Texas prairies and that home was destroyed in a second. And then I knew a man who delighted in his son. But that son went off to college and started running around with a bad crowd. And that son of delight turned into a son of rebellion. And then a lady that was married 50 years to her first love saw him off one day with a kiss at home, and only to receive a call later that morning from the local emergency room that the love of her life had died with a sudden coronary attack. Now, all of these stories remind us of another couple, a man and a woman who delighted in the Lord, and they were never, ever disappointed. And plus, they received a marvelous bonus. They received the desires of their hearts. Isn't that amazing? They delighted in the Lord, and they received the desires of their hearts. Now, these last people are the ones that I want to talk about today from Psalm 37. If you've got a Bible with you, turn to Psalm 37. And these are people who are delighting in the Lord. Interesting that in this this psalm that is an alphabetical acrostic, there are some characteristic couplets in the early part of the psalm that contain on one half of the couplet a command followed by a promise, a command and a promise. And verse 4, I'm going to take just three of these couplets. Verse 4 is the first one: delight yourself in the Lord. Delight in the Lord, that's the command. And then the promised blessing is, and he will grant you the desires of your heart. Isn't that amazing? If you delight in the Lord, he'll grant you the desires of your heart. And I think that all these imaginary stories, and some of them real, I'm thinking of real stories, but to you they're imaginary, that I mentioned at the beginning, remind us that if we delight in anything else, or anyone else, we are doomed to ultimate disappointment and failure. Because there's no house, there's no car, there's no wardrobe, there's no amount of money that's ultimately going to satisfy, because they're all prone to dwindling ability to please. And there's not even any person, a mate or a child or a sweetheart, that can't be lost to death or to disappointing circumstances. They're here in God's good providence for us to enjoy while we have life, and there's nothing wrong with that, but we cannot put our ultimate trust in them. They cannot be the ultimate delight of our hearts. There's only one who's worthy of that, and that's the Lord, who never disappoints, who never changes, who never discourages. What does it mean to delight in the Lord? Well, in its original setting, it basically means, if you want to put it in street language, come sit down with God. Come and sit down with God. And you know, when you think of it in our vernacular, that's a very common experience, isn't it, with someone that you really love and that you really care for. You come and you sit down with them, and you enjoy their presence. I remember when we were raising our children, occasionally I'd be home from the church office, and in the middle of the afternoon, you know, when young kids get out of school around 2:30, 3 o'clock, and in those days they walked from the neighborhood school safely, and they would come to the door and walk in, "Mommy, look what I drawed," just straight out like that. "Mommy, look what I drawed." And Shirley would sit down, and when I was there, I would sit down and just listen to their tales of the day, and we would just listen and communicate with them. Delight in their presence and their communication. Or later on, after we got them to bed, I always did all the baths, and then we would read the Bible stories and pray and get them down. And then we would sit down occasionally by the fireplace, Shirley and I, and just delight in each other's presence and fellowship and communication. It was wonderful. Or if you don't have kids, after the day's work is done and you take a breath of fresh air or a deep breath, and you sit down and you enjoy your sweetheart and your loved one. Just listening. And you know, it's really the same way with the Lord. We delight in Him by spending time with Him, communicating and listening. I think David had it right when in Psalm 1 he said, "Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scorners, but that person's delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he or she meditates day and night." It's spending time with the Lord, communicating and listening and enjoying His presence. And then it says, the promised blessing is we'll receive the desires of our hearts. Now, that obviously doesn't mean that the Lord is going to grant us all of our casual wishes, does it? "Lord, today I'd like a little Mercedes 500 SL, if possible. Or, you know, maybe a little cash windfall and a trip to, you know, either New York City or San Francisco on a shopping spree." You know, obviously those are way out. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the person whose heart desires are naturally aligned with God's desires and purposes in his or her life. The person whose desires are planted and granted by the Lord. He will grant you the desires of your heart. It's uncanny how that happens when we put first things first. When we delight in Him and His presence and spend time with Him, we somehow get into alignment with His plan and purpose for our lives. It's just a given. It happens. And I know that many of you have experienced that. That's the first couplet. Delight and you'll receive desires. Delight and desires. The second one is in verses 5 and 6. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will bring it to pass. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will bring it to pass. So the command is to commit. And the promised blessing is what I'm going to call completion. He's going to bring it to completion. He's going to bring it to pass. Bring what to pass? Anything. You name it. What is it that needs to be brought to pass in your life? You commit it to the Lord and He will bring it to completion. Now, He may not bring it to completion the way you would envision. You may envision something that is a little bit Pollyanna. You may envision something that makes it easy for you in your life. But God has a plan. And sometimes He may want us, rather than to have a road of ease, to go through a time of adversity and to emerge stronger for it and to emerge as a realistic testimony to a watching world of the validity of Christianity, that it really works. Commit your way to the Lord. What does it mean to commit? Well, it literally means roll all of your ways upon the Lord. Roll all of your ways upon the Lord. Just put the whole load on His shoulders. Let Him carry the load. Roll it off onto Him. In our family, we've had such a hard time committing important things to other people. And I can just run a couple of imaginary scenarios. Let's imagine our cars, for instance, that I go to my favorite garage and the service manager comes out and says, "Mr. Brian, can we help you?" And I begin describing the problem under the hood. And he says, "Piece of cake, no problem. We'll have it ready in a couple hours. Go out and get some lunch. And there's a good restaurant right down the street here. Come on back in a couple hours and we'll have your car ready for you." And I come back and discover that out back, there's a young kid with a badge on his shirt that says that he's from the local high school mechanics class working on my car. And I think I shouldn't have committed something that important to such a novice. But let's run the scenario again. Let's say that I drive into that garage and the service manager greets me and I describe the problem under the hood and he says, "Interesting that today on our premises we have the very designer and engineer and builder of your car, make and model, and he's going to personally work on your car." Now that is hypothetical. He's going to work on your car personally today. Point is, God is not a novice. God isn't a novice. He created you. He created me. He planned and executed our salvation. He knows exactly what He's doing. And we can commit our needs to Him, our concerns to Him, and He will bring it to completion. Why, He's carried burdens for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Sarah and Rahab and Ruth and on and on. And if you want to take a big leap, a quantum leap, Calvin and Luther and Zwingli. And so He certainly can handle problems for you and me. But we've got to take the step of commitment and trust. And men and women, I find that the hardest thing to do. I really do. I walk around with my back all hunched over under a load of care, carrying load on my back. And I just won't take the step of commitment and trust. Remember, we took a trip once. I got this station wagon, a Pontiac Safari station wagon, 400 cubic inches, brand new in that engine, 10 miles to the gallon. Would really be great in this economy, wouldn't it? And we took our trip of a lifetime from Oklahoma City, where I was pastoring, to California. And it was a 2.5-hour, 2.5-week trip. It was marvelous. I remember we spent some time at Disneyland, and my first two boys at the time were 23 months. Well, they're still 23 months apart, but they were 23 months apart at the time. And then we had this late blessing come along, Philip, and he came late 8 years later. So he was kind of little Bubba. And we got to Disneyland out in Anaheim, and we knew that Philip was not going to be, that little toddler was not going to be able to keep up with his big brothers in that huge amusement park. So we bought one of those backpacks, and I started out with Philip on my back, turned Gary and Eric loose in the park, and wasn't bad at first. But about an hour later, he was heavy. I want to tell you. And my sweetheart, who's also my wife, Shirley, came and said, "Honey, it's my turn." Boy, I don't know how to tell you what a wonderful feeling that was to get that load off my back onto hers. It was just marvelous. That's exactly what we need to do spiritually. Roll our ways upon the Lord. Trust it to Him. And He will bring it to completion. He'll bring it to completion in our lives. You know, some of these statements in the promised blessings, granting the desires of our hearts and bringing everything to completion in our lives, really play well with prosperity theology. They really play well with health and wealth theology and with name it and claim it theology. And we know the biblical balance related to all of that when we look at the whole context of Scripture. But we don't have time to deal with all of that today. But the first couplet is to delight in the Lord and He'll grant us desires. The second is to commit our way to the Lord and He will bring everything to completion in His way and His will as we trust and rest in Him. And the third one is in verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Rest and you will be rewarded. Two R's, rest and you will be rewarded. Because verse 9 says, and you will inherit the land. The ensuing verses even say that if you've been maligned, God will vindicate your reputation. He will protect your reputation. If you've been accused or maligned in some way, your character has, God will protect you. So our job is to watch out for His reputation, and He will take care of our reputation. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And you know, in a culture that says time is money and get it done yesterday, which certainly may work from an economic standpoint, but it can lead to a preoccupation with fast solutions and with kind of a crazy lifestyle, hectic lifestyle. But to rest in the Lord, and there are two shades of meaning to the word for rest. The first is the rest of a person who has a quiet inner spirit. And mind you, this is not to be confused with personality, because they can be a gregarious, loud, outgoing person, but still, and they can be a very active worker or an optimistic activist type person, and still have a restful spirit. And they're very attractive, aren't they? I love to be around those kind of people. I'm not always that way. You know, so many of us run around with, like chickens with our heads cut off, and we are questioning God, and we're needlessly struggling and so on, rather than resting in the Lord and waiting patiently for Him and watching Him reward us richly so that we dwell in His presence, in His land of provision and so on for us. But the second shade of meaning is the rest felt by a weary traveler that has been on a long journey and is looking forward to getting home. And I remember as we came back from California after 2.5 weeks, and Cain and Abel have been killing each other in the back seat. And you know how that goes. And we got to Amarillo, which is a 250-mile shot straight on I-40 to Oklahoma City. Man, I could hardly wait. The neighbors had mowed the grass. They said, we'll set the AC for you. We had cleaned the house before we left. So we were going to come to the comfort and quietness and solitude of our home. And I looked forward to that. That's what that is like. And we need to do that with the Lord. Come into the quietness and calmness of relationship with Him, and let Him, you know, remove the dirt of our doubt and the despair of our self-effort that so ensnares us. I think it can best be illustrated by the Rhone River that starts way up in the Alps and runs about 500 miles down through Switzerland and France. And that Rhone River does something interesting. At one point in its path, it flows into Lake Geneva, almost seeming to be absorbed by that lake. And something happens to the Rhone River when it leaves that lake. It has been cleaned of all of its silt and debris, and then it runs clear and clean on its way to the Mediterranean. That's exactly what time with the Lord does. It clears the cobwebs. It gives us peace and contentment and rest in the presence of the Lord. If we will only do it, if we will only take the time to do it, delight yourself and you'll receive desires. Commit your way, God's going to bring it all to completion. Rest in the Lord and He will reward you richly. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word, for the power of it. And I pray for myself and for all of us that we will take advantage of the truth of Your word. It's infinite. It is powerful. It's Your inerrant divine disclosure to us to tell us how to get from here to heaven in good shape. Help us, Father, daily to feed on Your word. What kind of people would we really be if we really did Psalm 1, if we meditated in Your word night and day, if that was our preoccupation? Probably 6 months into that, people would hardly know who we were. We had changed so much. We would have changed so much. May I be that kind of person. May we all be those kind of people today. Bless my brothers and sisters today and encourage them as they continue the journey that You have them on, studying Your word and preparing more effectively to serve You. And we commit ourselves to You in this day, in Jesus' name. Amen.